Amen.
Hi, everybody. I just want to kind of start off with leading on the fact that this week when my husband and I was coming home on Tuesday from physio, I was saying just how amazing everyone was that they got up on five stage and was so confident and willing to do it. And I was just like, never in a million years would I get up in front of like all the vibe folk because it's just too daunting. And I was kind of saying, you know, just how like God blesses those people and just gives them so much confidence, and just that I could never like get up and do it. So I thought, you know, our God has quite a funny sense of humour, when I got home to find a wee text message to ask me to do my testimony this Saturday night. So here I am trying to do as God tells me. But my name's Helen Little, as Nikki said. I'm 29 years of age. I was always brought up to go to church, Sunday school. And my mum's kind of just, well, she didn't pressurise me into going, but sometimes I wouldn't maybe want to go. So I ended up going to like Sunday school, church, Christian Endeavour, GB, Girls Guides, everything that I could have really went to. So I never didn't have the opportunity to know about God or, you know that Jesus died on the cross for me and all of that. But I say it really hit me whenever I went to high school, and I kind of understood then that I needed a personal relationship with God, not just to go to Sunday school, go to church and pray and things like that. I really needed a relationship with God. But throughout high school, I always was like really down on myself. I never had a lot of confidence. I would have got quite depressed and things over myself, and I never felt I was pretty enough or I was smart enough or as good at hockey as what I wanted to be, and silly stuff like that. But throughout school then, a lot of things started happening that kind of really affected my life and myself mentally. I would have lost a really good friend. My best friend's father died of cancer when we were 11, and like a few years after, there was like my grandfather passing away, and actually my religious education teacher actually died in class while she was teaching us. So like all these kind of things were happening within a couple of years of themselves, and I kind of was just thinking there's so much death already when I was only like about 13, 14, and I couldn't really cope with it that well, and I just thought, God, why is so many people dying around me? And unfortunately then, like within that year when I was 14, one of my good best friends in school was getting off the school bus, and she was like running across to get off to get her sister was doing like a trial run of like makeup and like hair for her our formal, and she unfortunately got hit by a car. So like she was in hospital for about a week. And because I was so strong in myself and I knew that God could answer prayer, I just completely believed that he could, you know, transform the situation into something good. And I believed that he would, like, save her. So I just prayed constantly, and I kind of got a glimmer of light because I was told that she was reacting to light now, which was, like, amazing. So I was like, oh, my gosh, like, my prayers are being answered. And, like, a day later then I was told that she'd passed away. So again, for a 14-year-old, I just couldn't cope that somebody that close to me had passed away, and I couldn't do anything about it. So I really kind of went into myself, and I just got really, really depressed and down. And unfortunately then I started into like self-harm. I would have like cut and burnt myself, so I would have like burnt my arms and my legs and my stomach. I didn't do it out of like wanting sympathy or wanting attention. I did it because it just kind of gave me some kind of sense of ease to take away the pain that I had emotionally when I took it away on myself physically. It sounds really stupid now to me, but at the time it just made sense. This was happening to me, and I started like taking panic attacks and things in and around when I was 14 when that had happened. And I don't know if like people's heard of it, but I say I had kind of experienced like sleep paralysis or night terrors, they call it. But it would be when at night I would like have like a sense of fear. I would always think that my friend was like in the room with me that had passed away, and I just always thought that she was there at night. And you know, I would want to scream, I'd want to run out, but my body wouldn't allow me. My mind was like fully function. It sounds funny, but like it was fully functional. I knew what I was feeling, and I knew what I could see and feel, but I couldn't do anything about it because my body was kind of not functioning that way. And my mum sent me to counselling, and you know, the counsellor kind of reassured me, oh, this is normal, it's just called sleep paralysis, it's fine, it's just when your body and your mind's not together and you're kind of in and out of consciousness asleep. So your mind might be fully awake and your body's asleep. So that kind of confirmed why I was like paralysed when my mind was telling me to do something else. So that again in itself mentally was a lot for me to handle, that this was just happening to me and I couldn't do anything about it. But throughout high school then I got closer to God again. I just kind of was trusting in him that he could resolve, you know, the situation that I was in and what I was feeling. And then I got, I started going out with a guy that was unsaved. He wasn't a Christian. But again, at this stage, I was like, right, God, this is in your hands. You need to make him a Christian. It's because I was like, always, I need to marry a Christian. I need to be going to church with my children, bringing my family up in a Christian family. And so for a couple of years then, you know, unfortunately, I didn't see it at the time, but I was slipping away from God. Although he was kind of coming closer to God, I was kind of going back the ways. And I'd always kind of felt like every time I got closer in my walk with God or I felt stronger as a Christian, I just got another knock. Every time I got like confident in him and knowing who my Saviour was, I just got another kick. And Dwayne, my ex-boyfriend, we were going out about 5-6 years at this stage, and he was getting closer to God, wanting to go to like church and asking questions, and I was like, right, God, this is great, this is amazing, you know, this is where I'm looking up here, this is great. And then unfortunately his brother at 22 years of age was diagnosed with cancer, and he had two beautiful like girls, they were 4 and 8 at this stage, and within 2 months of him being diagnosed he died of cancer as well. So again, that was a lot for me to handle myself, because you know, his family was kind of nearly like mine, and mine was like his at this stage. So it was like losing a brother. And like for him as well, for him to start asking questions about God, for that to happen, he just didn't want to know anything else about God. He was so angry, and he was like, how can there be a God when a God takes a father away from 2 children like that? And just didn't want to know. So that caused problems in our relationship as well. But I just ignored them, and I ignored all the signs that God was giving me, that I wasn't in the right place. And eventually then I qualified as an interior designer from university, and I got a job in Belfast. And both of us were both working then, and, you know, the next stage, obviously, you know, at that stage of my life, not thinking as a Christian, was to move in with him. And I moved in with him, and just straight away I knew it was wrong. I knew that God didn't want me to be there in that situation. And, you know, there was more and more things that was coming up to me. God was just throwing in my face, and he was like, I don't need you to be in this place at the moment. And again, I ignored it. And but then one of my older friends, Bobby, from Anna, where we were originally from, he was like one of my good Christian friends when I was younger and kind of fancied him as well, but nothing ever happened. So he ended up with some other girl and I ended up with Dwayne. So for years we didn't speak to each other, and then we just started getting contact again. So this was kind of sparking up the idea of, right, God's bringing a Christian fella into my life again, and you know why? I don't need this confusion at the minute. And he started wanting to bring me to Vibe. He had went to South Africa with Vibe, and he just says, well, you want to come to listen to Dill to Vibe? So I was like, yeah, that's fine. But at this stage, I didn't realise it went so far away from God, because I seen everyone. Well, first of all, I came to the welcome team, and I was like, oh, I don't want to be welcomed. I didn't really care, and I just walked on in, and, you know, everyone was so nice and everything, but I was just hardened. I didn't want to really get to know anybody, because I would always be a friendly person, I think, and like to make friends, but I just didn't want to make the effort with anybody, and I didn't really want to make the effort with God unless he was like really speaking to me. And one night Daryl had said something, I can't even remember now what it was, but it was just like God clicked his fingers and was like, this light went off, and I was like, I need to be who I used to be and who I want to be as a Christian, and stop ignoring God giving me all these signs that I wasn't in the right place. I just didn't want to accept that I was in the wrong place. And then, like, the night after, my friend invited me to Elam Church, and again, it was all about how I needed to be with somebody that was going to build me up and get me closer to God rather than taking me away from God. Not that he deliberately did it, but I just slowly went away myself because of the situation that I was in. So, I came home that night, and it was nearly as if God made me say it. It wasn't my body, it wasn't my voice that said it, but I just came out and told my boyfriend everything, and I was just like, I don't think this is right for me at the minute. And that was a big thing for me, because I'd been through so much with him, and he was kind of like my rock, because as I was saying in high school, I wasn't a very confident person. I was very, in my eyes, a very weak person, and he was like my strong person in the relationship. And for me to tell him that I didn't want it anymore was crazy to me. And before I even could take back any words or, you know, regret saying anything, he was out the door, and that was it, done. And I kind of was sitting there, and I was like, oh my gosh, right, what did I just say? So from that then, a couple of weeks afterwards, was just awful. I didn't go to work. They were ringing me up. I think it was like the third week. I didn't even realise it was the third week that I hadn't been in. My mum was trying to contact me, and every weekend I just stayed up in Belfast. I was self-harming again. I was taking sleeping tablets that weren't mine just to try and get some kind of sleep, and it just got worse and worse and worse, and my sleep paralysis was happening, but yet I didn't have Dwayne to turn around to comfort me. So then when it was just mental, I just wasn't sleeping. I was just really unwell at the time. And I just remember one night in the kitchen, lying in the kitchen floor, and I was like, I don't want to be here anymore. And sorry, I'm really emotional, but I'm pregnant. It's okay, forgive me. But I remember sitting in the kitchen floor, and I was like, right, this is it. Like, this is where I'm going to do it. I'm going to kill myself. And like, I was thinking all these scenarios, how I was going to do it, and I eventually thought, right, I'm going to leave the gas on and hopefully just not wake up in the morning. And that was my decision. That's what I was doing. And I just started crying, and I just thought, this isn't me. I can't hurt somebody else. I'd already hurt Dwayne. I'd rather hurt myself than anybody else. And I just thought, I can't let my parents come up to Belfast and find me, and that's the only reason I didn't do it. And I just started praying out to God. I broke down and I cried, and I was like, God, just show me something. And it's not as if, you know, God was like, right, here's where I want you to be or whatever. I just felt like an inner strength, that I was a fighter and that I could go on and do what God wanted me to do. Not even what God wanted me to do. At this stage, I felt like it was all me. It was like I was the fighter and I could go to work the next day. If I went to sleep, I could go to work. I'd still have a career ahead of me. And, you know, I had a future. So things started kind of picking up. I'm going to, like, skip loads now, but it's... then, you know, I started coming to Vibe more with Bobby. And then, to make a long story quick, we basically ended up going out for a year. He was very romantic, took me to Paris and asked me to marry him in the Eiffel Tower. So we got engaged, and then we've gotten married, and now we're pregnant. And but... like, I was just like, this is amazing, right? This is the first time that I've had a relationship with a Christian who I can pray with, who I can come to church with. And I just felt whole again. And I just felt like I was the Christian that God wanted me to be. And I was having a relationship with him again. So I say, Daryl was talking about going to the Philippines. And I was like, right, we're going to the Philippines. And Bobby, you're coming to the Philippines too. So we both went to the Philippines. And it was quite strange, actually, because a girl that didn't know me at all, she was actually like, Joanna, like a missionary, but she actually lives in the Philippines. And she came over to me. It was weird. She was just like, oh, I find you quite intriguing. Tell me a bit about yourself. And I was like, okay, right. So I was like, I'm Helen. I'm, you know, an interior designer, and, you know, this is my second. And she goes, no, I mean with God. And I was like, all right, okay, well, I think I'm all right with God. And she's like, no, I have, like, this sense that you're scared to get close to God. And I was like, right, you're really freaking me out. And I was like, okay. And she goes, no, I feel like you want to get close to God, but something's holding you back. You're scared to get close to God. And I knew in my head, I was like, every time I get close to God, something goes wrong. This is what I feel in my life. Something goes wrong. I get attacked. I get spiritually attacked. I'm having this sleep paralysis thing that I can't cope with. And just before we went to the Philippines, actually, it was like the worst I've ever felt. And, you know, the counsellor had said, you know, this is all mental in your head and mentally in your head and stuff, and you can cope with it and all this and just ignore it. From I was 14 till before I went to the Philippines, I was having this recurring over and over again. I would have it maybe once, twice a week. And like before we went to the Philippines, it, you know, my mum had always said, if you ever feel fear or you're scared, say the Lord's Prayer. And this night it had happened to me again, and I started saying the Lord's Prayer. And this time it's not as if it stopped, because sometimes it would. When I said the Lord's Prayer, just I didn't feel any fear anymore, and I was fine, and it was as if I was imprisoned and then let go. It sounds really silly, but this time I said the Lord's Prayer and was just praying. And it's nearly like this time, whatever it was, I feel like it is like an evil spirit. Because I believe if you believe in God, you believe in Satan. If you believe in good, there's evil in the world as well. And there is like a spiritual realm around us. And like this time, it nearly made whatever was there angry at me. And it just got more and more angry. And this time I felt like I couldn't breathe. I was being really restricted. So I was just so scared of getting close to God because of this happening to me. It felt like every time I was close to God, Satan would attack me and scare me so that I didn't want, you know, I was scared of getting close to God. And so she had it, like, hit the nail in the head, and I was like, right, okay, okay. And I told her all of this, and she was like, you know, you need the blood of the Lamb. And I was like, right, okay. And by this stage, people were looking at me, and I was like, you need to lower your voice, stop talking so loud, like, everyone's looking at me. So I was like, okay, that's fine, I need the blood of the Lamb, right, I get it. And then she was like, do you know what I mean? And I was like, yeah, yeah, that's fine. So then we got off the boat, and the rest of the week then was fine. We never really spoke about it again. And I came home, and again, I was just feeling down, just because I think with anyone going to the Philippines or a mission trip, you do feel down because you're away with like a load of Christian people who are so nice and easy to grow on with, and life's so much simpler than whenever you're home and you don't have the support of Christian friends and family and things, and you're just out to work every day to pay the bills and stuff. And I was just down. I was like, wouldn't it be great if you could just do that all your life and just do good for the world? And I was quite down about it, which sounds silly, but my husband then, Bobby, was like, right, we'll pray together and things. And at this stage, my phone was on, and it was like playing Hillsong or something. And he started praying, and that was fine. And once I opened my mouth, like, my music just changed. And I looked at my phone, and it did, you know, the words on it was like, hell's coming and things like that. So I freaked out again. I was like, I can't cope with this. Why is every time that I'm wanting to do good and wanting to be a good Christian that I'm getting, like, spiritually attacked here? And again, started, like, couldn't breathe, didn't want to pray, just was like, I can't cope. And within 5 minutes, Joanna, this missionary from the Philippines, rings me, what's wrong, what's wrong? And I was like, right, you, I just don't know what's wrong with you. But this was at like 11 o'clock at night, and she was like, what's up? And I was just like, I just told her what was happening anyway, and I was like, right, I'm really freaking out. I don't know how to cope anymore. I want to live for God. I want to have a life filled with the Holy Spirit to do good for God. And I'm just so scared because I just feel attacked every time I am. And she was like, well, did you ask for the blood of the Lamb? I was like, no, what are you talking about? I didn't really know what you were talking about. And she explained that the blood of the Lamb is like a protective shield over me, that no evil can penetrate it. And, you know, we just prayed together for a good half hour, and she just prayed for the blood of the Lamb over me. And, you know, I knew that obviously the blood of the Lamb was like a representation of Jesus' blood as a sacrifice for me. And I just prayed for the blood of the Lamb over me, and went to bed, and everything was fine. And I just want to share something with you as well, because I woke up the next morning. If you've heard of like UCB, word for the day, I have it on my phone, and this is what it was. And it's just like, it just completely confirmed with me that, like, I am a child of God, and that He's never going to let any kind of fear or any kind of evil come to me, because He has so much more power over it. And this is what it said the next day. Just remember too, I didn't really know anything about blood of the Lamb or protection or anything like that. Here's a promise you can stand on in times of trouble. Because you have made the Lord the Most High your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. There's a spiritual realm around you that is as real as the physical one you live in. One is the world of darkness, the other is the world of light. One is governed by Satan, the other is governed by God. How else can you account of brutal senseless killing of men, women and children at the hands of evil people? Paul explains it like this. We are not fighting against people made of flesh and blood, but against persons without bodies, the evil rulers of the unseen world, those evil satanic beings, the great evil princes of darkness who rule this world. Does that mean you're supposed to live in fear? No, and here's why. You're shielded by the blood of Jesus. Just as the angel of death on the night of Passover couldn't enter into a home with blood on its doorposts, the blood of Jesus is a protective shield around you and the devil cannot penetrate it. The odds are on your side. The odds are on your side. When Satan fell from heaven, he took one third of angels with him. That means we still have two angels for every one of his. Angels are ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation. Rejoice as a redeemed child of God. You are protected from evil. And that really blew my mind, because it was just God saying, you know, that he wanted me back and that he would do anything for me. And like, if I hadn't just done what God said for me to do, like so many years ago when I lived with my boyfriend in Belfast, I wouldn't be standing here today. I wouldn't be with a Christian husband and bringing up, well, hopefully going to be bringing up a Christian family and Vibe Church. And I just want to kind of really ask if anyone is going through anything like that, or depression or anything, please don't be scared to come and speak to any of us, because we'd love to talk to you and like pray with you. Because when I think back, it's like I was a totally different person, and I never felt in a million years that I'd be able to stand up in front of a church because of the anger that I had towards God. And just to know that we are children of his, and that we're so precious in his sight. And if you ever do feel, you know, that something's wrong or you're not good enough, it's only Satan putting like that seed in your mind. And just stay strong in Jesus. And that's my testimony so far.